प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्महेद्धि वेदस्य महानीस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासिः अनेनाधीतेनाहोरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. So today we are moving into another hymn, and I hope, because it's shorter hymn, that we will have time to look into the Vedic paradigm in general and to see where Savitar is coming from. I prepared a PowerPoint presentation and we will go through it. So this is already a mystic Vamadeva, well-known Rishi, with his inclination for the delight. He is one of those most mysterious mystics of the past, who is revealing us the knowledge of the Veda in this particular format of delight. We will see there will be two important hymns to Savitar. So first of all, I will read to you in this reconstructed manner, and then we will go to the interpretation, and then we will look into PowerPoint presentation. तत् देवस्य सवितुर् वार्यं महत् वृणीमहे असुरस्य प्रचेतसः छर्दीर्येन दाशुषे यच्छति त्मना तन्नो महान् उदयं देवो अक्तुभिः दिवो धर्ता भुवनस्य प्रजापतिः पिशङ्गं द्रापिं प्रतिमुञ्चते कविः विचक्षणः प्रथायन आप्रणानुरु अजीजनत सविता सुम्नाम उक्थियाम आप्रा रजांसि दिव्यानि पार्थिवा श्लोकम देवः कृणुते स्वाय धर्मने प्राबाहुअस्राक् सविता सवीमनि निवेशयन प्रसुवान अक्तुभिर् जगत् आदाभियो भुवनानि प्रचाकशत व्रतानि देव सविता भी रक्षते प्रस्रग बाहु भुवनस्य प्रजाभियो धरिता व्रतो महो अच्मस्य राजति त्रिरंतरिक्षम सविता महित्वना त्रिराजांसि परिभूस्त्रीनि रोचना तिस्रो दिवः पृथ्वीस्तिस्रा इन्वति त्रिभिर्व्रतायर् अभीनु रक्षति त्मना बृहत्सुम्नाः प्रसविता निवेशनो जगतः स्थातुर् उभयस्य यो वशी स नो देवाः सविता शर्म यच्छतु अस्मे क्षयाय त्रिवरुद्धम् अंहसाः आगन् देवा ऋतुभिर् वर्धतु क्षायं दधातु नः सविता सुप्रजाम ईशं सनः क्षताभिः अहभिः च जिन्वतु प्रजावन्तं रयीम अस्मे सम इन्वतु. So the whole verse is in Jagatir, which means 12 syllabic meter. Tat devasya savitur variyam mahat. That greatness of the god Savitar we choose. Vrinimahe we choose. Of the powerful one. Asurasya, whose consciousness is turned ever forward. Prachetasah, whose chetas is turned forward, moving ahead, not withdrawn towards himself, not looking onto himself, looking out. Chardir yena dashushe yachati tmana, that by which he gives protection to the giver, protection chardir, the fence or the residence, he forms it by his formation. Chardir yena, by whom chardir dashushe, to the giver yachati, he gives. Tmana, by himself, tanno mahan udayan devo aktubhih, by which the great God himself is rising in the night. Aktubhih is usually translated by the nights, but look how many possible translations are here. Ray, light, dark tinge, darkness, night. So aktu is from root anch, to manifest. From here, vyakti. Vyakti is a personality, manifestation. So by his manifesting movements, we can say, but it is usually translated by the nights, yes? He is rising by the nights, by himself, by which the great God himself is rising in the night, I put. But it is by the nights, yes? Aktubhih, you can see the Tritiya Bahuvachana.
It's not sure that it is the night.
No. But it is used many times in that context, in other hymns. So from there we know.
Okay.
Otherwise we would not even know what it is. It is by manifestation he is rising by himself. In manifestations, or with manifestations. Would you like that? With all these manifestations, with all these shaping out something, he rises together with them. It's as if a rising consciousness within or through manifestation. And night has that connotation also, that it is a dwelling place for manifesting spirit. And the night gives its shape and shapes it out, shapes light out. That's how he works. He works through night. That's how he shapes all the manifestations. That's why Aktubhi can be translated in so many ways, and all of them will be relevant.
That makes also sense. Whose consciousness is turned ever forward, ever
right. Dashushe. Dashuh is the one who gives, yes? From root dash, to give himself. If it is not specified what he gives, that means himself, the giver of himself, who surrenders himself. It's an interpretation. So he gives a fence, he fences out the giver of himself to this higher. So he makes him invincible, he protects him, he gives him a wall around him, as if. It's quite interesting for those who had some kind of spiritual progress in their life. You may remember that there was a time, if you had that, that you were as if surrounded by the wall, nothing could touch you. Nothing could penetrate, no grief, no attacks of the people. You were as if beyond the wall, as if something built up around you, so solid and so flexible. I remember even my friends were used to say to me that you are as if you are beyond the wall, we cannot really, really touch you. I just remembered this now when thinking about fence around the self-giver. The one who gives to himself is protected by this rising consciousness of the Lord. Divo dharta bhuvanasya prajapatih pishangam drapim pratimunchate kavih vichakshanah prathayan aprenan uru ajijanat savita sumnam uktiyam. He upholds the heaven, the creator of the world. He puts on his golden garment, the poet, seer, seeing widely and in detail, spreading far, filling the vastness by himself, Savitar has generated the perfect thought, which deserves expression by the word. It's an interpretation. Sumnam uktiyam. Uktiyam is that which should be expressed. Sumnam is sumanah, sumati, the perfect thought. Now this perfect thought, Nishtha was writing about it in Anumati. By the way, Anumati, Pramati and Sumati, there are three categories of thinking. Pramati is that forward or aspiring thought. Anumati is that giving sanction thought, yeah, which is coming to support it. And Sumati is that perfect creation in thought, in the mind. So that perfect creation in the mind deserves its expression, Uktiyam. Ajijanat, he generated, Savita generated this perfect thought which deserves expression. Divo dharta. Dharta is the supporter, divah, of the heaven. Bhuvanasya prajapatih. And the creator, prajapatih, of bhuvana. Bhuvanam is the world, the becoming. Pishangam drapim, this golden garment. Prati munchate. When munchate is used in Atmanepadam with prati, means he releases onto himself. He drops onto himself that he wears. He puts it on. So he puts the pishangam drapim. Prati munchate. It's interesting how it came to mean that meaning. He drops towards himself, so he puts on his golden garment, kavih. He is the poet, the seer. Vichakshanah, seeing widely, whose chakshus is vi, looking widely in all detail. Prathayan, spreading far. Aprinan, filling, uru, the wideness. Filling the wideness, spreading, and looking into every detail, seeing every detail. Vichakshana, yeah.
Why do you mean detail?
Because of V.
Because of V. Mm. The hole in the path.
Yes. Has two meanings, widely and in detail. You can choose, you can boot both. Mm-hmm. I think both are implied. Yes. Seeing all the details, that means widely also. Because seeing details everywhere, that means to be wide seeing. Otherwise, it's quite clear grammar, yes? Ajijanat may be only aorist from causative, always reduplicative. When you have reduplicative aorist, the reduplication in the root, ajijanat, from jan. Janayati Ajijanatha or is reduplicatable of this. So you can always guess that he produces, he generates. He generates the perfect thought worthy of expression, worthy of speaking. Apra rajansi divyani parthiva shlokam divah krinute svaya dharmane prabahu asrak savita savimani niveshayan prasuvan aktubhir jagat. Again aktubhir, again niveshayan prasuvan. Apra, he filled Rajansi, the spaces, Divyani, of heaven, those luminous spaces he filled, and earth by himself, Parthivani, Parthivani, Divyani cha Rajansi, Apra, he filled.
In the Veda it's dropped that long eyes are the usable.
Yes, ni can be always dropped in a plural, and you see Parthiva, or can be Divya Parthiva Rajansi. Yes? So it's more flexible language, and it allows more varieties. Shlokam Devah Krinute Svaya Dharmane. And now we come to this word again. The God who creates the word to sustain himself. Shlokam Devah Krinute. He fashions, or he, how to say, cuts out the word Krinute. Krinute is making, but the first meaning is to cut. Carving, yes, to cut and to rearrange the parts. That's why it has the meaning of the sacrifice. The whole something was cut into pieces and arranged in a proper sense, rearranged. So he carves the word, or he fashions the word, svaya dharmane, for himself to support. To sustain himself, yes, to hold. Dharman, dharmane, to hold. Dharman is the holding thing. In the Veda it's not yet dharma, as we know it later, but that sustaining, svaya dharmane, for what, his own sustainability, sustenance. Integral Sustainability Seminar, you're most welcome on Saturdays, by the way. To sustain oneself, he fashions the word. And it's quite interesting. He fashions the word to sustain himself growing in consciousness. He needs the word. Prabahu asrak savita savimani. Savitar has stretched his arms to all who move here to guide them. Savimani is to in the guiding. In this, you can see saviman is setting in motion, in instigation, direction, guidance. In the guidance of all, he stretches his arms. Niveshayam. Introducing. Prasuvan. And leading them. Aktubhir Jagat. In the night here. Now, Jagat is here, can be any moving thing or any moving creature or the world. He is introducing or pulling down, so to say, the world and pushing up. Or dragging it in and pulling and pushing it forward. Niveshayan, niveshayati, prasuvan, pushing forward. It is from Rutsu from which Savitar is made. He is the impeller, the one who moves all things, the creator of things. That's why Savimani, look here, how Rishi is using the word. Savita, Savimani. Savimani is from the same root. Prasuvan, three times he is using the same root.
Which takes the sense of creation itself, the
Yeah.
The root. It means to repel, to create.
Yes.
To press something out.
To press out. From here, soma. The juice which is pressed out from the plant. The essence of delight in this manifestation. So what is interesting here is that by the nights, or by these with manifestations, he moves the world. He pushes it forward and he pulls it in at the same time. He pulls it into the darkness and he pushes it out of the darkness. This is very common for Savitar. There are several hymns, maybe four or five, that this phrase is used in the same way. Niveshayan prasuvan. Vasishtha will use the same phrase, only he will say bhumi, and not obhuman, and not jagat. So it's somewhere in the back of the mind of that paradigm, and we will come to it. Otherwise, it's quite clear. Asrak is aorist from Sridge. Adabhyo bhuvanani prachakashat vratani devah savita bhirakshate prasrak bahu bhuvanasya prajabhyo dharitavrato maho ajmasya rajati. Adabhyah, again we saw it last time, invincible bhuvanani prachakashat illumines all the world, prachakashat. This is injunctive. He illumines all the worlds. Vratani deva savita abhirakshate. And the god devah savita abhirakshate protects vratani, his laws of existence. Abhirakshate, from all sides. He stretches his hands again, prasrag bahu, forward, to help all creatures in the world of becoming. Bhuvanasya prajabhyah. Prajabhyah, for prajas of this becoming world, he stretches his arms forward. Dharitavrato maho ajmasya rajati. Holding firm to his supreme laws. Dharitavratah, whose vrata is held, which is firm. The one who has the firm law, or whose laws are firm, Bahuvrihi, shining in his great march forward. Ajman, ajma is march forward, from root aj, to drive forward. From this root, most probably also agni is generated. In that family of roots, aj, from here aja, the goat. The goat is aja and unborn aja. The goat is the vahana of Agni, who drives forward. He is the driver. So ajmasya, in this march forward, mahah ajmasya, of this great marching movement of evolution, he is shining, or he is the king, rajati, as you like. And now we are coming to something interesting. For this particular verse, I will make the PowerPoint presentation. Trir antariksham savita mahitvana, tri rajansi paribhus trini rochana, tisro divav prithivis tisra invati, trebhir vrata rabhino rakshatitmana. Savitar is thrice surrounding antariksham with his might, in its three spaces. What is interesting here, I will come to this. And the three luminous realms, three Nirochana. setting three heavens in motion and three earths. Tisro divah prithivis tisra invati. Invati moves, compels to move, compels to rotate. Three heavens and three earths. Tribhir vratara bhinarakshatitmana. Protecting us, as if surrounding by himself with his three supreme laws. Tribhih vrataih. Abhi nach as rakshati, protects tmana, atmana, by himself. So Vedic classical atman in Vedas, tman, simply. Tmana, atmana, can be used both. What is it? Now I can see something else I didn't see before. Vamadeva depicts Savitar as the all-including, transcendental, and at the same time an involved Godhead, which is the power of rhythm, a direct characteristic of the supramental dynamic truth of things in their right positioning and relations. For he includes also the three luminous realms of Tri Nirochala and all that is below it, making the three heavens and the three earths grow. Invati pushes them, moves them forward, compels them to move, revealing all the wonders of the divine manifestation on the scale of time and space. Now,
what is now law? Is it,
yeah, we will come to these three laws.
Before I don't understand laws at this point.
Yes, vrata is that which is habitual for him to do. It is that what he does, or how he is. So that is the law. It is not the law as a codex which you have to follow. It is that what is within him, yes? What is his own law of his own being. By these three laws of himself, he is protecting all of us, moving or compelling or pushing forward the three heavens and three earths. But before something else is said, and in a very strange fashion, trih antariksham savitama hitvana, thrice antariksham, three times antariksham savita, by his greatness, three spaces of the vital, he encompasses, he embraces tri nirochana and three shining luminous spaces of svar. Why it is mentioned only here with rajansi and rochanani, and why an antariksham? You remember we were discussing this, that Sri Aurobindo gives in the hymn to Vishnu this explanation that there are two antarikshas. One antariksha is that which is between heaven and earth, and other is greater antariksha behind, which is between this heaven and earth, so to say, lower hemisphere, and beyond transcendental, which is supermind. Now, look how he puts it, in what fashion. It's quite interesting. He mentions only one in antariksha, and he says that he encompasses it thrice, and then he says three spaces of the vital and three luminous spaces of the svar, and in between there are three heavens. He doesn't mention them, and then he says three heavens and three earths. He pushes forward. There is something here to think. I will come to this maybe in the PowerPoint presentation, and we will look into it into more detail. Brihatsumnav prasavitani veshano jagatah sthatur ubhayasya yovashi sano devah savita sharma yachatu asme kshayaya trivarutham anhasah. The Father is He. Prasavita, who creates, whose perfect thought is in the vast, brihat sumnah. This is Bahuvrihi compound, whose perfect thought is vast, brihat, is that of that realm, supramental realm. Niveshanah Jagatah. He is the introducer and Prasavita. Again, he is the one who pushes forward all things, and he is Niveshanah, the one who is introducing all things into manifestation. He has two movements, and later we will see as the bird with two wings or with two hands. With one hand he drags all those creatures into manifestation, all the souls, and with the other hand he pushes them out of manifestation. He promotes them forward. So he's Prasavita, he is the promoter, and he's Niveshanah, the introducer, who introduces them into the darkness. Jagatah Sthatur Ubhayasya Yo Vashi. Who is Vashi? Who is the Lord? Ubhayasya, of both. Jagatah, of the moving, and Sthatur, of the one who is staying. The one of all, of those things which move and those which do not move, moves not. The Lord of both that moves and moves not. May the God Savitar grant us protection. Sano devah Savitar sharmaya chatu. Asme, in us. Kshayaya, for the dwelling in us. Trivarutham, triple protection. Amhasah, from the narrowness or from the darkness. Now this amhas is the term which is used all the time in the Vedas. Yes? Amhas is that chaos or darkness, from root am, to suppress, to make it narrow. So from this narrowness, or from that dense darkness within the night, he should give us triple protection in us for dwelling. Asme kshayaya. Kshayaya chaturthi ekavachanam. Kshaya. Asme, in us. It's a Vedic asmasu. Asme. So he is the Lord of all things which move and move not. He is the Lord, Vashi, who commands them. I'm emphasizing this because later we will come to Surya and we will see that the same phrase is used, but only he will be not Vashi, but he will be Atma. He will be the self of all things which move and move not. So this is subtle difference between the Savitar, who is the Lord of all things and moves them, and the Sun, Surya, who is the self of all things. And I think it is the last one, yes. And we will go to PowerPoint presentation. Agan devah retubhir vardhatu kshayam dadhatunah savita suprajam isham sanah kshapabhih Ahabhishcha jinvatu, prajavantam raimasme sam invatu. Arriving with his powers, which are arranging all the sacrificial seasons, all the seasons of the year, retubhih, agandevah, the God comes, retubhih vardhatu, increasing or making grow, or even the one who should grow in our home, maybe. He should grow by the seasons here, kshayam, in our home, or simply our home. He should increase our home by seasons. Dadhatu, he should establish for us, or in us, nach, suprajamisham, our true impulsion of perfect creation, suprajam, that which is born perfectly forward, praja, that which is born forward for the future sense, yes, It is an important word, praja, is always often used. Praja means that who is born with regard to the future. Because praja, born forward, who will generate something in the future, some changes. That's why praja is so important. Supraja, isham. That isham, that impulse, true impulse, which is perfect creation. Or force. Or Shivambindu translates it as true impulsion, isham. Impelling force. It is translated in a general sense as draught, or even as a, that which you drink, which gives you strength. You know? From here, ila, but with short e, isham. But from root ish, that desire to know, to wish, yeah? The power which carries you, the aspiration of some kind.
Ishu
is not the arrow. It's from the, yes, from that weed, from the bamboo, or from those, what you... Sanah kshapa bhih ab ahabhih chajin matu. He should urge us nights and days. Kshapa bhih ab ahabhih cha. By days and nights, sanah jinvatu. He must propel us, how to say it, send us forward, yeah? Or even animate us, make us alive, yes, days and nights. Prajavantam rayimasme samin bantu, activating within us the wealth which is bearing this perfect creation. Prajavantam Raim. Raim, the wealth, asme in us, saminvatu, perfectly or fully activating, which bears the fruit or which bears the offspring. Prajavantam, having the offspring, wealth. The wealth which will be used for the future, which has some future. I don't know. There are no words to really find this. Interpretations.
Activation is
invatu. Makes move totally in us the wealth which bears the offspring, the fruit. You see, such a cryptic language. So now I would like to go, if you don't mind, into this PowerPoint presentation. We have a little time, and I think I will finish it. So this was made before, so I was speaking about a shift of... And for those who do not know the years, approximately I'm giving here the years. Samhita times from 6,000 to 2,500, approximately. Everyone gives different dates. You take whatever great scholar. It's such a bizarre. Gonda gives 4,500, others 2,500, 3,500, Tilak 6,000 BC. So it doesn't matter what time. Approximately before we knew ourselves as we know ourselves now. Brahmana's period was from 2500 to 1000 BC. Aranyaka's from approximately Brahmana's time. Upanishads are a little later. And Sankhya could be also from Upanishadic times. In the Gita it is already known as the ancient philosophy. And yoga is mentioned in the Gita, so approximately 600-500 BC, and darshanas, which are following this time, all the six darshanas. So, the Vedic paradigm, I made this PowerPoint presentation once for IPI, but I looked into it again and it was kind of interesting to maybe present it here in brief. The faculties of consciousness in the Veda are seen as projected from the Divine Mother Aditi, infinite consciousness force. The supreme emanations of that consciousness force are called Adityas, the sons of Aditi. There are seven of them: Varuna, Mitra, Aryaman, Bhaga, Daksha, Amsha, and Surya. These are seven great sons of the Divine Mother. So Aditi, so to say, produced these great sons, and I'm writing them in such a way that we will see later why I put four first and three other lower, because first four represent those transcendental emanations, whereas these three supramental emanations. So from Surya there was eighth son born, who was called Vivasvat, who became the creator of this universe. But Vivasvan, who was born ugly and distorted with limbs, without limbs. He is called also Martanda, born from the dead egg, dead. He was born not fully luminous, though Vivasvat means widely luminous, but he becomes widely luminous. It corresponds to the mythology in a Christian tradition with Lucifer, by the way. The mother brought the child who didn't know his father, Lucifer, and he became a creator of the world not knowing that he had a father. So Vivasvat in some way is very close to that mythology. The eighth son, when she saw him born like this, she turned away from him and left him with all her seven sons. So these seven sons belong to the higher realm, whereas Vivasvat represents this fallen son, the son which fell into the darkness. This son has to be recovered. It is that son we are looking for. So the four transcendental godheads, Varuna, represents the vastness of infinite being, Sat; Mitra, the luminosity and harmony of consciousness, Chit; Aryaman, the power of the divine tapas; Bhaga, the bliss of the divine fulfillment, Ananda. These are Sri Aurobindo's definitions. So you can see, instead of speaking Sat, Chit, Tapas, Ananda, in the Vedas these are these great emanations of Aditi, Varuna, Mitra, Aryaman, Bhaga. They represent that transcendental consciousness. And he gives wonderful explanations of them in detail. If you read them, you will have nearly a perception of them. And there are three triple status of the supermind, as he describes it in the Life Divine: unity, many in one, and one in many, and many. It is within the supermind there are three gradations, and these three gradations represent three godheads of the supermind. Daksha represents the power of thought, all discerning and all distributing power of supramental consciousness. Actually, Daksha is the father of all the godheads born in manifestation. And even Aditi is born to him, and Daksha is her father here, and she is born to him as his daughter, and that is that dawn. Or that Kamadhenu, known later as the cow of which sustains all the manifestation. If you read about all those great godheads, the father will be Daksha. It's quite interesting. The supermind in the highest realm of the oneness is the father. The power of thought, capital T, all discerning and all distributing power of supramental consciousness. Amsha, the second level, many in one and one in many, represents the diversity in oneness supported by that unifying power of Daksha. And Surya, or Savitar, represents all the seven Adityas and projects them into a lower creation. His rays represent the diversity in the domains of Svar, that Svar which Sri Aurobindo describes as all the mental levels. So we have these seven sons of Aditi. Varunasat, Mitrachit, Aryamantapas, Bhaga Ananda. Daksha, supramental knowledge force. Amsha, supramental many in oneness. Surya, Savitri, supramental manifestation, when it moves towards the diversity. Here I had to make this scheme for you, because it is in this way it is in the Veda. So Aditi has these seven sons, which are beyond, with the supramental consciousness, and these sons have also their counterparts, or they are also present in the lower manifestation. So Varuna is also embracing darkest night, represents the luminosity of the height of the existence, and reaches to the deepest darkness in the night. And this is most confusing, because Varuna is born also to Diti, the mother of the divine, dividing consciousness, and he is there. He is supporting manifestation as existence, as a divine existence, but not knowing, not having the light of consciousness. But it is the same Varuna. The same with Mitra. There is consciousness here involved, born from Diti in this lower manifestation, and Aryaman, and Bhaga, and Daksha, and Amsha, and Vivasvat from Surya. Involved Godhead. So all these seven are coming to one particular Surya who represents all of them. It is through him that they all come into consciousness. It is Surya who is the eye of Mitra and Varuna and Aryaman and Agni. He is the consciousness which represents them here. But they are also active through him or by him. And that is difficult to distinguish, how they are active, if he is there, but he represents them, and they are active through him. Surya Savitri, the Lord of creation. The rays of the sun thus build up the luminous planes called in the Veda Svar. It has three luminous realms called Trirochana, we just read about them, which thus project the higher three realms of cosmic mind called Tisro Dhyavah, three heavens, sustaining thus the three spaces of the vital realm called Trini Rajansi, or Tri Rajansi, supported by the three foundations of the physical called Tisro Bhumi.
Rajansi is vital.
Yes, spaces. Usually it is used only in the vital sense. Sometimes it can be also something else, because Antariksha is there, bigger Antariksha is behind. So I will give you the whole scheme here, the triple world. We have mental mind, vital mind, physical mind. We saw this scheme before when we were studying linguistics. Mental, vital, 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 physical, vital. Mental, physical, vital, physical, and physical, physical. These are triple worlds, worlds involved in themselves. Look, you cannot speak about mind without reaching to the physical realm. Even on the highest mental realm, there is physical mind also, mind of this universe. And there is also mental, physical. So in a way it's a very scientific paradigm. By the way, this paradigm Mother brought to Sri Aurobindo from her studies. This is from Chaldean tradition, or from occultism she was studying deeply. This scheme is known there, not anywhere else. Only in the Vedas we will find this three bhumis, Trini Rajansi, three vital realms, and three heavens. And this is quite interesting. Only there we can find, later we don't have them, don't have any reference to. So these are Tisro Dyavah, Trini, Rajamsi and Tisro Bhumi. And they are projected from three Rojanas. And beyond there is a triple status of unity, one in many and many in one, and many of the supermind, Svar and the world. So you can see the whole scheme, how they are interacting. The supermind results in the physical creation, in the triple physical creation. Triple superminds projects triple physical creation, and you will find interesting correspondences. For example, unity corresponds rather through the mental, where is one in many and many one to the vital and relations, and many to the physical as unique. So this scheme kind of created the whole varieties of things and triple worlds within themselves. Now we will compare with Sri Aurobindo's terms. I must do it because it would be interesting. So three Rojanas, Sri Aurobindo, in Sri Aurobindo terminology, would be those overmental levels, where the highest and the top of the overmind he speaks of as overmind gnosis, or supramental overmind, where the outburst of supermind is just coming out of the supermind, is still touching the supramental stuff. So it is already turned towards the creation, it's in clusters of those luminosities of consciousness and power. And then the proper overmental level appears with many colors, yes? Which then is projected into intuitive mind as a particular flesh. So you can see again the oneness, many in one and one in many, many colored overmind, and then intuitive mind, which is flashing as a unique flash for the particular time, a particular context. That's what we call pratibha in our linguistic studies, as a flash of intuition. So the three heavens are illumined mind, higher mind, and mind proper, universal mind, or that physical mind. What is interesting in that scheme, what we saw, that the mental mind is that self of mind, and you will find in the self of mind, proper mind, yes, illumined mind. It's the top of our creation. The higher mind is that vitality of the mind, where all things are known in detail to each other, and so on and so forth. And this universal mind, which creates the universe, is presented as the physical mind. Mind of the physical creation, turned towards the unique manifestation. But these are universal realms of mind. They are beyond, on the other shore of the abyss. Two lower triple realms of vital and physical is mental, vital, 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 physical, vital, mental, physical, physical, and physical proper. These are three Rajamsi and Tisro Bhumih. So the triple conception of the creator within his own consciousness creates the supermind. I'm referring it to one hymn of Indra, where it is said three Aryama, triple Aryaman. The triple force conceives, he is the bull who conceives his consciousness as the creator. And that results as a supermind. It's a conceivement of the Lord within his triple realm of Satchit Ananda, in a way, which gives us a possibility to manifest himself. The very physical consciousness is a result of this conception as, and a part of its realization. The physical and mental consciousness are seen in the Veda as two luminous firmaments, Rodasi, supporting the growing soul in this creation. Heaven and earth, the mental and physical consciousness, are housing souls here as the eternal amshas of the divine. These amshas in the middle of the supermind, it is there our souls for the creation and manifestations are formed. We are amshas of the divine. We are those portions of the divine. Portions to perform the sacrifice. They support and nourish them and protect them from Abhva. Heaven and earth support and nourish these amshas growing here. Our mental and physical consciousness is holding us, supporting us against the chaos of inconscient, of Abhva, as Agastya Rishi would invoke heaven and earth, our mental and physical consciousness. Protect us from the inconscient, because that Abhva, that non-being, yes. The chaos of the inconscient, which they have descended to convert and to save. These amshas were projected, our souls, into this Abhva, but they need a support, and the support is coming from our physical and our mental consciousness. Now look at this beautiful arrangement. Our physical and mental consciousness protect us from this chaotic influence on the soul. They are our home. It is within this home we are born. It is by them that we can stay here. Otherwise we would not be able to stay in here. Makes sense, no? Mother says that our physical consciousness is our fortress. It protects us from nightmares. When we have a nightmare, where do we run? We run into the body. Why? Because it protects us. That nightmare is chaos which comes in. Those forces of darkness which want to grab us. We are protected by the physical and mental consciousness.
By reason.
Yes, reason, mental, mind. Mind, which is a very particular formation of consciousness to hold on to that we choose in spite of all other things pulling us down. Vital is exactly that crack, antariksha, where all those forces come in. And that is not very safe realm to dwell on or to be in. That's why Mother says better to cross it fast. She was building a bridge over it to cross into the higher realms. Agni, the divine will, the spiritual father of the evolving souls of man, is thus a growing lord in the darkness, taking all of it into himself and changing it into its divine prototype. This Agni is rising from Vivasvat. He is rising from the sun, as one hymn says. Rising because the sun is involved. It is his flame of that Savitar. And they have relations. We saw what interesting relations they have, Agni and Savitar, last time. Sacrifice as the way of transformation. Agni calls to the Godheads from above and from within the depth of his own consciousness, thus introducing them and their transcendental presence here in the earthly consciousness of man. Now it's quite interesting that Agni is a priest, and the priest who is brought forth by the inner being to invoke other powers of the inner being to come forward. And this is the sacrifice. The priest is a generation of this inner being to invoke all other powers to come forward. So Agni is the divine will of that inner being of the Lord, who is already there in front of all, a mortal among mortals. He is the leader. He is the leader on our evolutionary path. In his depth, he has an access to all the Godheads, for he himself represents all of them, here in the fallen self. The aim of the sacrifice, the union of the three levels of the physical consciousness with the three spaces of the vital and the three heavens of the mental consciousness, is an aim of the Vedic sacrifice. It's very difficult to imagine such being where all of them become one, all of these three mental, three vital and three physical, because it implies that supramental triple supermind is already realized, manifested. Otherwise they cannot stay together within one consciousness or within one individual frame. For it effectuates an ascent to Svar with its three luminous realms, Trirojana, introducing thus the supramental consciousness into the lower hemisphere. Now this is the picture of the mother, well-known picture, which I'm using again. And she describes all these levels of consciousness from the supreme down to the inconscient. The supreme is beyond, then unmanifest, asat, existence, sat, chit, consciousness, look at these beautiful colors. Bliss is this kind of rosy, it's not really reflecting, and white screen is rosy, with rosy. Yes, something, yes, like Matrimandir, yes. Then pure gold, supermind. Then over mental consciousness, mixed colors. Then intuitive mind, pure yellow. And you see this, there are no, in over mind there is also over mental supermind, or supramental overmind, which is not really here shown, but these two, with that one outburst from the supermind, belong to the Svar world, whereas these other lower ones belong to the lower hemisphere. Illumined mind, blue, higher mind, darker blue, mind, even darker blue, vital, it's kind of blue and red mixed, purple, yes, which is turning into red physical, and goes into the inconscient dark blue. But what is interesting here, I wanted to emphasize, is that all the blue colors, look, going up to illumined mind, because they are all built on the inconscient. It is our lower hemisphere. And suddenly yellow. Yellow, which comes from another realm, which shoots down. It doesn't go up, it comes down. So the up is finished on the illumined mind level. There is no more moving up. You have to wait for that flash to come down of the intuitive mind. And there is a beautiful description of it in the canto In the Self of Mind, as you remember, when Sri Aurobindo comes to the highest realization and everything is known to him and he sees the self, he receives this knowledge of the world, and then suddenly the luminous finger fell and showed him that all he knew was false. And that was the flash of the illumined mind, intuitive mind coming into the illumined mind level from the supermind. Because the illumined mind in itself is of that stuff, of the supramental stuff, and it shows things as they are. So on this I will stop. So it was kind of to present something of the whole vision of the Veda and all the levels and where Savitar is and what is his role in this manifestation. So did it become a little clearer, or at least you lost the track?
For those who already have a background, I think it's okay. For those who are new, it's a lot of information to manage.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I can
live. Now we know from where Savita is coming,
Savitar is coming from those seven sons of Aditi.
Yeah, that I know. Really.
That's a big knowledge. He represents all of them here in manifestation. We should see this.
That is not connected with that picture what we saw.
Yeah, well, I showed you the last picture to see the difference between illumined mind and intuitive mind. And Savitar is coming from that realm, from the beyond, and enters all of these. Savitar is that last, this supreme, that one who stands there beyond. That's what Sri Aurobindo says, at least. It's the Supreme Lord.
It's the Father who becomes the Son.
Yes. So we end today with a mantra. Vang me manasi pratishthita, mano me vachi pratishthitam, aviravir maedhi, vedasyama anistha, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anena dhitena horatran samdadhami, ritam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmam avatu, tadvaktaram avatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. The major knowledge from this presentation is that the physical body is the manifestation of the supermind. And once the physical body was neglected, or supermind was neglected, or the svar world was treated as maya, supermind disappears altogether from Indian philosophy. And physical is treated as an obstacle or as an imprisonment for our soul, which has to be dropped as soon as possible. It is not seen anymore in dynamic terms that physicality is the manifestation of the supramental force. And that we can recover only through Sri Aurobindo and Vedic knowledge. So we have tea and some cookies.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.